Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
Time for our weekly wellness check with Dr. Ben Weston, Chief Health Policy Advisor for Milwaukee County and Associate Professor of the Medical College of Wisconsin. Happy Thursday, Dr. Weston.
Happy Thursday. Good to be with you.
The holidays are coming up here soon. I want to get to this, though, right off the bat, because we did have some breaking news today. We learned that two kids in Wisconsin have died from respiratory illnesses, one from COVID, the other from flu. And right now you have, you know, the holidays almost in full swing here. You've got a lot of people traveling over the next few weeks, spending more time with friends and family. And with that often comes an increased chance of spreading illnesses like the flu. What signs and symptoms of the flu should we be looking for?
Yeah, it's always hard seeing these cases when we first start out the year, but unfortunately we do see them every year. Now, one thing to know about flu is that it can hit suddenly. You may feel fine one day, but we wake up the next feeling kind of crummy. You got the fevers, the chills, the cough, the sore throat, body aches. Sometimes in kids, you even get the vomiting and diarrhea as well. Now, if you're having just mild symptoms, usually over-the-counter medications, ibuprofen, acetaminophen, or Tylenol can help reduce those fever and ease your symptoms. But if you're getting more serious symptoms, and particularly if you're in a higher risk group and you get flu, there are prescription antivirals, such as Tamiflu. And these can not just lessen symptoms and shorten the time you're sick, but most importantly, they can prevent that progression to severe disease that can affect certain people.
Also, of course, this time of year, doctor, as people are planning those holiday gatherings, they may be starting to feel the sniffles or starting to feel off and be telling themselves, I'm going to put off that doctor visit. I can't do that right now. But if someone is having those flu-like symptoms, when should they, regardless of how they feel inside, go to get that look at their doctor's office?
Yeah, so it really depends. Now, some populations are at higher risk for severe flu and flu-related complications. So we're talking really young kids, adults over 65, those who are pregnant, those who are immunocompromised or have chronic diseases. Think of asthma, heart disease, lung disease. Now, if you're in one of these high-risk groups, it's important to contact your doctor right when flu symptoms begin so that you can get the right medications and the right care. Now, if you're otherwise healthy, you may still want to seek medical care if certain symptoms are getting serious, things like trouble breathing or high fever, for example. But if you're in doubt, if you're worried, you can always check in with your healthcare provider to see what's best for you.
Where is Wisconsin right now as far as our flu activity, and what are the best ways to protect ourselves?
Yeah, so flu activity is currently low, but certainly we're seeing more and more flu. So we're getting toward, but not at the peak of flu season. We're just starting to ramp up here. And really, the best way to protect yourself, of course, is getting that annual flu shot. Now, hopefully you've gotten it already. We're getting it pretty late in the season. But flu strains change every year, so staying up to date gives you the best protection. And even though we're late, it still is worth getting. You can still build up that protection before we hit the peak of flu season. Now, one common misconception, it doesn't contain live virus. You can't get the flu from the flu shot. Now, in addition to flu shots, good hygiene, of course, as with anything. Washing your hands often, covering your coughs and sneezes, and avoiding close contact with folks who are sick. Or if you're sick, just staying home.
You know, Doc, as we look at other concerns with winter and our health, we just had Chief Meteorologist Brian Nesnansky talking about the dip in temperatures we're going to see. We've had a lot of warm weather that's melted a lot of snow, leading to ponding of water. And that water is going to turn into ice overnight, creating some dangerous conditions, not just on the roads, as we've talked a lot about, but as we're walking around. If you're on the sidewalk outside your home or doing some shopping outside downtown, there's going to be ice on the sidewalks, and that oftentimes leads to serious injuries from falling down. Just how common are injuries related to winter weather falls and ice on the sidewalks?
Yeah, they're really common, actually. So each year, more than 1 million Americans are injured by slipping on snow or ice. And about 17,000 of those end up being fatal. So these aren't just little slips and falls. Now, in the emergency department, we see certain groups that have higher risk of falling. As you can imagine, older adults, also kids. Now, kids tend to bounce back a little better. And then workers who spend time outdoors. Think of those delivery drivers that are running your packages up and down. It's an occupational hazard to be slipping in those sort of jobs.
So as an ED physician, emergency department, what kinds of slips and fall injuries do you tend to see the most during your winter months?
Yeah, so when they make the get to the point of coming into the emergency department, usually there's some sort of an injury. We hope for a sprain or a strain, but certainly we see a lot of broken bones. And of course, you know, back and spinal injuries as well. Now, what we really worry about are head injuries. So traumatic brain injuries, they're more serious, and they can certainly impact your overall health long term. So if you do hit your head, whether it's falling or something else, some of the red flags you want to watch for, it means you need immediate medical care. If you lose consciousness, that's more severe. If you have a really bad headache after the fall, certainly if you're vomiting, if you're confused or disoriented, if you're on blood thinning medications, those would be some of the reasons, among others, to definitely seek out medical care for that fall. So all sorts of different presentations come into the emergency department, though.
And obviously, the solution to avoiding those falls is not hoping that everyone in your neighborhood throws the salt out before the ice forms. So how can someone prevent a fall caused by snow and ice?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, part of it is just assuming there's always ice out there when it's cold out, especially now when it's wet out and everything looks kind of shiny and you can't tell quite what's going on. Now, particularly if you're more prone to falls, some of the things you want to do. So one is the way you walk. You want to walk like a penguin. You're using short, kind of slow, shuffling steps. You have your knees a little bit bent to help with that center of gravity and that balance, and you have your arms out for balance. You want to avoid keeping your hands in your pockets. My kids do this all the time. You don't want to walk on ice with your hands in your pockets. Keep your hands out. There's handrails available. Use those. Of course, you want shoes that have good traction. And believe it or not, if you do fall, there is a way to fall safely to reduce serious injuries. So certainly bending your knees, getting closer to the ground, not reaching that outstretched hand out if you can avoid it to avoid, you know, those broken wrists and broken arms. Trying to fall on your side, it's a little cushionier part of your body usually. And of course, protecting your head, trying to prevent that from hitting the ground. But the best thing is probably just slow down. Take extra time to go where you are going. You don't always have to be in a hurry.
Yeah, without a doubt. Milwaukee recorded its coldest December start in nearly 50 years. It's mild today, but we know those temps are, they're just going to plunge later on tonight. For those who enjoy an outdoor run or hike, let's talk about the risks and the benefits as well to exercising in the cold. What happens to your body when you exercise in cold weather?
Yeah, so when you're out in the cold, your body shifts into this heat preservation mode. So we've all experienced it. Your blood vessels, especially your hands, your feet, your face, they're constricting. And that's to keep the warm blood closer to your heart, to your brain, to protect those vital organs. That's why your hands and your feet get so cold when you're out in cold weather. But this also affects our muscles. Your muscles rapidly cool down and they just get less flexible, less pliable. And that makes us more prone to strains or injuries. And then we've all experienced when you breathe in that cold, dry air, it can kind of irritate. Even if you don't have lung issues, it can make you cough. And certainly if you do have lung issues, it can exacerbate those as well. So it's not that the cold weather necessarily in short term is harmful to our bodies, but it changes how our body responds and can impact how we exercise and what we should do when exercising in the cold.
So then how do we best prepare? Because I think if the activity is a run or a hike, you may say, oh, we'll dress with more layers, but you're also running. And I know I run hot all the time. So if I'm going to be running out, I'm sometimes tempted to just tank top, shorts, and shoes, and let's go. But that may not be the best idea.
I hear you. I tend to have the same approach, but it may not be best. And so you want to prepare your body for that cold weather. So certainly warm up. 5-10 minutes of movement, ideally. Walking, marching, dynamic stretches. Do it outside so you're starting to get used to that colder weather. And then keeping yourself as warm as possible. Dress in layers. You can always take them off. Get that base layer. Get something windproof, waterproof on the outside. And then don't forget about hydration. It's easy to forget in the winter when it's not as hot out. But cold weather dulls your thirst. But you are still losing fluid when you're sweating, when you're breathing. And so keep yourself hydrated by drinking water, even if you're not feeling thirsty.
That's Dr. Ben Weston with our weekly wellness check. Thanks so much, Dr. Weston.
All right. Take care. We'll talk to you soon.